Well, this week in basketball was like a drive on the Ohio Turnpike. Everybody paid the toll, reached a cruising altitude, and only a few surprises. Good evening and welcome to the WLW Sports presentation of The Baseline on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm Clark Ramsey, your host for The Baseline, and tonight's topic for high school basketball. What a surprise. Joining me in studio tonight is the one and only John Mooney.
Well, if the Ohio Turnpike is the analogy that we're going to use tonight, all I can say is that, hey, it's an ugly road, but it does lead to the promised land, one way or another.
Like a bad penny, he's back as the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, the Prince of the Press, Paul P. Adams.
Oh, happy to be here, coming off another great week of basketball and another great week ahead. Can't wait to talk about it.
This week we saw what could be considered the official start of divisional play across the Greater Thumb Conference.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got an early bunch of leaders. How long is it going to hold up? In the West, Reese, USA, Bad Axe are all 1-0. In the East, what are you going to do? We got Harbor Beach. Who else?
Potentially Marlette.
USA? Maybe Sandusky? they haven't had a game yet.
My friend Eddie Fury likes to call the Greater Thumb West the Wild West, and I think it got off to a great start, and I think it's going to be maybe the most contested conference that we have in the Thumb this year.
Tonight's edition of The Baseline is being presented on WLEW Sports by Thumb Sailor on their 4G LTE network, The Talk of the Thumb, and our latest sponsor, Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. When we return, we'll break down our WLEW Sports Game of the Week, USA at Lakers this past Friday, and a bunch more from the hardwood. Whatever you do, don't give up The Baseline. Okay, here's the deal. I'm addicted to my smartphone. Seriously. I honestly don't know how I survived without one. Whenever I want, I can get my weather forecast, read my email, make sure my diet is staying on track, and well, of course, words with friends. I'm addicted. Imagine being able to play Scrabble all day long. I see it as supplemental vocabulary education, so it's totally okay. These are all available as apps on a smartphone. That is, if you have a smartphone from Thumb Sailor. There's more apps available than you can even think of using. And plenty that you really don't need but make the workday go by that much quicker. They're all available on an Android smartphone from Thumb Sailor. You probably didn't even know that Kim Kardashian is going to get her nails done, did you? Well, Twitter told me that one. See, I don't know how I survived without my smartphone. And I don't know how you are either.
When it comes to your body's aches and pains, only one thing truly matters: feeling better. But it comes down to three things to make that happen. Of course, quality care you can trust, timely service, and convenient hours. That's the difference with Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine of Bad Axe. Whether the injury is sports-related or age-related, the licensed professionals at Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine can get you back to a life that the only thing you can complain about is this weather. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. That's 989-269-2700.
Tonight's presentation of WLEW of Sports is being powered by the blazing speed of Thumb Sailor's 4G LTE network, The Talk of the Thumb, now with the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. You're listening to The Baseline on Sports Radio 102.1 on WLEW Sports with Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and from the Huron Daily Tribune, Paul P. Adams. In an ode to the past year, this was the week that was, let's take a look at it. Back on Monday, we had quite some action. Sandusky at KPAC. Sandusky took out KPAC 59-47 back on the 12th. Sanford Meridian Early College took on USA. It was 27-67, USA with the 40-point victory. Deckerville at North Huron. North Huron wins that one 64-60 in a shootout. Kingston at Caseville is all Kingston, 64. Caseville 36. And Genesee Christian 36, but Peck with 52 in a non-conference NCTL game. Jump ahead to Wednesday. Reese was at Harbor Beach, and it was Reese with 51 when all is said and done. Harbor Beach after four quarters with 61, and Harbor Beach gets off their three-game skid. Vassar at Ubley. Vassar with 54. Ubley, not much contest, 29 points there. Lakers at Brown City. Brown City pulls a victory at home, 54-40 over the green and white. Cassidy on the road at Marlette. And Marlette wins by 8, 40-32 over Cass City. Bad Axe at Memphis. Bad Axe big, 69. Memphis, 36. Nearly doubling up there. Thursday on the scoreboard, North Huron at Kingston. North Huron with 38. Kingston, 55. And Kingston moves out even further out front in the NCTL standings. Caseville was at Mayville. A three-point contest there. And the Mayville off of Fulton Ave on 52 points. Caseville with only 49. Carsonville, Port Sanilac was at Peck, and Peck doubled them up and then some with 68 points versus CPS's 31. And then we move into Friday action. 68 for Harbor Beach, and Marlette loses at home against Harbor Beach. 68-55, Harbor Beach big win on the road. Memphis at Ubley, and Ubley picks up their second victory of the season, 49-37. Bad Axe falls in overtime to Saginaw Novelle, 61-51. A tightly contested game. Bad Axe was actually leading entering that fourth quarter by 3 points. USA at Lakers on your WLW Sports Game of the Week. USA with 54 after a hot start, busted out the game wide open 20-0 before Lakers was able to score. Final score on that one, USA 54, Lakers 32. Vassar and Reese in a defensive battle. Reese pulls the upside over Vassar, if you want to call it that. Reese 38, Vassar 34. And in Saturday matinee action, Kingston defeats Peck in an NCTL showdown. Kingston 35, Peck with 31, and Kingston extends their lead in the NCTL. Gentlemen, your general thoughts from this week.
Go with the game that you just mentioned. I'm very surprised by Kingston over Peck, and especially holding Peck to 31 points. That's a really good Peck team who loaded up its schedule in non-conference and then drops a game in conference. That one really, really sticks out to me.
I saw Peck on Thursday night, and little did I realize that was going to be their last win in that gym for the whole week. I'm sure they were tuning up for Kingston coming in. They had CPS that night and made easy work of CPS. But then you roll into Saturday for the makeup game, and my goodness, that's just a shocker.
Well, John and I actually had the ability to go watch USA, because we really didn't know much about USA entering Monday night. And it was USA taking on Sanford Meridian. A little connection there between Steve Bone and his brother, the head coach of the Sanford Meridian squad. It was all USA, though. After the first quarter, it was 17-4 USA over Meridian early. Aaron Sines dropped in 14 points in that first quarter, including three threes, including the second quarter. Sines with two more threes. Hunter Bone pitches in five. And at halftime, the score is 32-15, USA leading by 17. Sanford Marines' Josh Rice, he scored 7 points in that second quarter, and that's all of his points of the night. He was the leading scorer, mind you. In the third quarter, Aaron Sines with another 10 points, and USA sits their starters halfway through the quarter, if that tells you anything. In the fourth quarter, USA's Wesolowski, a sophomore, hits two threes, and he finished with 9 points of the night, and Sanford Meridian was held to 1 point in the final 8 minutes of that game. Final score was 67-27. Aaron Sines, your leading scorer with 32 points, 5 field goals, and 7 threes. I didn't even realize that until I was tabulating this up today, that Aaron Sines had 7 threes and 1 for 2 from the free throw line from 50%.
What totally blew my mind was USA took 22 shots inside the arc and 24. No, let's reverse that. 24 shots inside the arc, 22 shots beyond the arc. Almost 50% of where they're firing or launching ICBMs. It is just amazing, and they make them too. I mean, they were something like 50% from the field on that, which is just phenomenal.
It was USA's first game in practically a quarter century, and turnovers kind of showed. USA had 7 in the first half, 8 in the half second half for 15 turnovers total. Sanford Meridian only with 11 turnovers, but free throws still kind of woeful for USA. They were 8 for 14 from the free throw line for 57%, and on their home court, Sanford Meridian was 9 for 14% for 64%.
What really stuck out to me is the three-pointers. That was bombs away. 7 from Sines, 11 total. And a team that's very efficient by shooting those, as John alluded to, they shot 50% from beyond the arc. We barely see teams shoot that from the free throw line, let alone from the three-point line. They cooled down a little bit in that game against Lakers, and we'll talk about that later in the show, but My impressions from USA, very fast. Maybe the fastest team, most athletic team I've seen all year. And they're deep, and they're very young. So they are going to make mistakes. Those 15 turnovers, not that surprising with a team that features a lot of freshmen, a couple freshmen, a lot of sophomores, and really only one really experienced player in signs as a junior. You're going to see that. But I think as the season progresses and they gel together with Coach Bowen and Coach Gainforth, this is going to become a really exciting team to watch.
To borrow from Mark D'Antonio, of all people, they were like a caged lion just ready to be turned loose, and that's exactly what they've done in the last two games.
You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
When it came down, Wesolowski with 9 points. And it's a very, very young team. We were talking with some of their fans, and they said, we expected USA to win 3-4 games this year, and all of a sudden they're already out to a 5-0 record through quarter of their schedule.
Have they ever heard of the word rebuild?
Not in a while. Well, their football program, but that's a whole other story.
But I'll tell you what, reload.
I'll say this, though. The players might change, and they might be young, but as long as you have the experience of Mark Gainforth and Steve Bone, they are always going to have a chance. I've been doing this for 14, 15 years now. Coach Gainforth, Coach Bone, they're the only guys I've known over there on that bench. And year after year, I've seen them lose incredible amounts of talent. I've said, this is going to be the year USA is down. And they always surprise me. And this year was no different. They lost a great crew last year, a senior crew. And you look at their roster, it's a JV roster. But look what they're doing, 5-0. Big, big tests on tap this week at Vassar, at home against Reese. We're going to know a lot more about the Patriots, but well, at least we all got to see them, you guys a couple times, me once, and they're not an unknown anymore.
When it came down to it, I think all but two players scored for USA, and Monday is the same case. Two players didn't score on Friday. We'll get to that game in just a bit. Gettle with 7 points, Bone with 5, as well as Williamson, Kemp with 4 points, Kramer with 3, and Gardner with 2. Held San Fromridian's leading score to only 7 points, coupled with 6, 4, 2, and 2. San Fromridian now 3-5. They beat Harrison on Friday to advance to 3-5. They're currently on that one-game win streak. USA, after beating Lakers on Friday, they are out to a 5-0 start and 1-0 in league play on a 5-game win streak. Folks, we are this close to ending the polio disease forever, and now is our chance to change the world to make sure no child is disabled by polio ever again. Join in, speak out, be a part of history. Be a part of Rotary. Join your local Rotary Club in Seawing, Pigeon, Bad Axe, Sandusky, or Harbor Reach. Check out Rotary.org to see how you can get involved today.
We are this close.
We're this close.
We are this close.
Of all humanity.
To making history.
This close to changing the world.
We are this close.
This close.
This close to making sure no child suffers a crippling disease.
Ever again.
This close.
We are this close to ending polio.
To ending polio.
All we need is you. Is you.
This close. If we don't act now, we may lose this chance forever. Help Rotary make history at endpolionow.org.
When it comes to your body's aches and pains, only one thing truly matters: feeling better. But it comes down to three things to make that happen. Of course, quality care you can trust, timely service, and convenient hours. That's the difference with active physical therapy and sports medicine of Bad Axe. Whether the injury is sports-related or age-related, the licensed professionals at active physical therapy and sports medicine can get you back to a life that the only thing you can complain about is this weather. Call active physical therapy and sports medicine today at 269-2700. That's 989-269-2700.
I'd like to... Join in the conversation with WLEW Sports on Twitter. Simply search for at WLEW Sports and click the follow button. Receive in-game updates, stats, and even photos from the game. That's on Twitter at WLEW Sports, as it says right there at the back of my trunk. We're broadcasting live for WLEW Sports from our Eastside campus from the Clark Ramsey Manor. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of luxury. Book your stay today or like us on Facebook. That's the Clark Ramsey Manor on Facebook. Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams here on the baseline. We've been discussing high school basketball as we do every Sunday at 7 p.m. throughout the entire season. And now we turn our attention to Wednesday action. John Mooney, you were on the road. You saw CPS in Peck play.
Peck pretty much, was business as usual in a 68-31 win over Carsonville-Port Sanilac. I was there to try to, get an idea of what Carsonville-Port Sanilac does, because we're going to be covering them on Monday. They will be going up to Caseville.
Caseville, yes.
But what I learned was that, you have three kids for Peck that got into double figures. And what I also learned was that Kyle Abrego, was passing the ball more than he was shooting. I mean, he was an unselfish ball player. Really a pleasure to watch. He had 14. Cody Abrego, his point guard brother, had 13. Tyler Harris broke out with 11 points, and there was a whole slew of Pirates that were scoring that night. In fact, every Pirate scored that was in the book. For Carsonville-Port Sanilac, Tony Nugent, don't you dare call him Ted. He led everyone for the Tigers at 11 points, and Aaron Cooney had 8, and Wyatt Hooper had 6, and Christian Falls 3, and Justin Ritchie 2. It's going to be a pleasure to watch the Tigers on Monday night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, that's right.
And that was on Tuesday night, I believe, the CPS Pet game. We were correct, is that correct?
Wednesday, wasn't it?
No, it could have been Wednesday because you were in Ubley on Wednesday.
That's right.
You're so good, but you're not good enough to be in two places at one time.
It was Thursday.
Thursday, okay. Well, talking about that Wednesday game, Vassar and Ubley.
Vassar and Ubley, I'll
Vassar
tell you what.
54, Ubley 29, as Ubley continues to falter there a little
bit. I was really interested to see what Vassar was all about. You know, we've heard so much about them, and I think they're equal to the billing. It took them a little while to get going because I thought Ubley was playing tenacious defense and they were switching things up on them as well. So basically, when it gets right down to it, Vassar made mincemeat out of them, 54 to 29, but that was, you know, like midway through the third quarter to the end.
But wasn't it 17 to 16 at the half, I think?
Yeah, it was 17 to 16
in
favor of Vassar.
Very poor first half offensively for Vassar.
Vassar pulled out 33 to 24 at the end of the third period and just walked away with it. But Vassar is a really good team. I'm sure they're trying to go ahead and put things together with the loss of at least one player that I can think of. But you've got Tyler Humpert. I was very impressed with him with 16 points. It almost seems like anywhere around the hoop, he's dangerous. Blake Ruppel really looked really good to me. He had 9 points. And let's see who else. Oh, Luke Bogert, he is a sophomore, had 9. They didn't have 3 people in double figures, but they didn't need it. That was kind of like a tune-up game for them, right? That's what their plans were.
Sure. I was able to catch the latter portion of the Harvich Reese game on Wednesday. After the first quarter, Harvich came onto a 4-point lead, leading 17-13. Austin Seltz with 2 fast 3-pointers and a basket. Shelkey chipped in 6, makes it 17-13. Reese's Kyle Stockmeyer, quick 6 points. That's all he scored on the night. Something that we've seen Harvich do a few times. Come out with a hot score, and they'll shut him down the rest of the game. We'll get to that in a second. Second quarter, Harvich's Josh Shelkey scores 8 of Harvich's 12 points. Oki and Lemanski with the other 4. Reese hit 2 threes to keep it a ball game, though. It was 29-25, Harvich leading by 4 at half. Third quarter, though, Reese came alive, and they doubled up Harvich 22-11. Schrader with 8 points. 7 different players scored. Harvich only 3 field goals in the third quarter. Gaffke goes 5-for-6 from the free throw line to keep it a 7-point game. Reese leading 47-40. I came in and listened to the third quarter on Thumb Tailgater to watch the game. On the fourth quarter, Harvich comes out to an 18-1 run. Schelke with 8 points in that streak. Seaman with 6. And they went 7-for-11 in free throws in the fourth quarter to come out to a 61-51 final. Reese held to only 4 points in that quarter on a 3-1 field or 1 free throw. This game was on Thumb Tailgater. Now we check in with Eddie Fury, who called that game.
Thank you, Clark. Yeah, comments on the Reese Rockets. They were in that game against the Harbor Beach Pirates. In fact, they led a couple times in that game, and they led at the end of the third quarter 47-40. However, what doomed the Reese Rockets was the turnovers with their passes. Self-inflicted errors is what doomed the Reese Rockets. They had that game in hand, especially when they were playing the 2-3 zone defense, although Josh Shelkey from the Harbor Beach Pirates were able to penetrate and get to the paint and get to the glass and also on the free throw line. The other key thing also for the Reese Rockets, I want to point out, this is the first-year head coach, Brian Kern. He used every single player on the bench. Now, I thought he had a pretty good game plan. It was just the players who were kind of miscommunication with the passes. A lot of turnovers because throwing the ball away, not catching the crisp passes, not communicating well on the floor. In fact, maybe this is why, because a lot of these players are trying to get this offense from their new first-year head coach of the Reese Rockets, Brian Kern. They kept the players fresh. They were fast in the court, and I think that's what tired out the Harbor Beach Pirates throughout the whole game leading up to the end of the fourth quarter, although Harbor Beach pulled away with the free throws. The Reese Rockets, you know, speedy, kept the bodies fresh, very college and NBA-like substitutions from their new head coach, Brian Kern. the same deal happened to the Reese Rockets against the Vassar Vulcans. I know you guys talked about that and touched on it a little bit. The Reese Rockets had a great defensive plan against the Vassar Vulcans with a 2-3 zone defense. Really trapped Tyler Humpert, who was really almost like a non-factor in the game. Tallest player, one of the top players in the paint, on the glass, and for the rebounds. But the Reese Rockets, speedy Rockets, used every single player off the bench again. Kept it fast, kept it fresh in the court against the Vassar Vulcans. Back to Harbor Beach. Hey, Harbor Beach needed this victory. Three straight losses. They had a bounce back. They got this win over the Reese Rockets, a big win in a cross-conference game, 61-51. And then to go and win at Marlette with a big win there also, where they were down in that game. Other than that, the Greater Thumb Conference, it's kind of crazy. Not only in the Greater Thumb Wild West, where you have four teams that could win the Greater Thumb West title, with the Vassar Vulcans, the Reese Rockets, the USA Patriots, and look out for that dark horse, the Bad Axe Hatchets.
Yes, indeed, Eddie from Thumb Tailgater, they're calling that game. Josh Shelkey led all scorers with 26 points off of 13 field goals and went 0-for-1 from the free throw line. Austin Sells, 12 points, 1 field goal and 1-3, and went 4-for-4 from the free throw line. That's a rarity these days in this league. Jason Gaffke, 7 points off of all free throws. He went 7-for-10 from the free throw line. Cody Seaman, 6 points, 2-for-4 from the free throw line. Lemanski with 4 points. Oki with only 4 points. And Brady Kirsch with 2 points and 0-for-1 from the free throw line. Schrader led scoring for Reese with 12 points. Natkowski with 8. Lynch with 8. And Stockmeyer with 6. Harbor Beach, after beating Marlette on Friday, advances to 5-3. And like Eddie said, this stopped the win losing streak for Harbor Beach, who had dropped 3 straight after starting out 3-0 on the season.
This game, and especially the fourth quarter, I think you're going to look back on this season for Harbor Beach and say that fourth quarter was the turning point of the season. The Harbor Beach players said, enough is enough. We're better than this, and we are not going to lose like this again. And they finally put it together, and I think they rode that momentum of that fourth quarter into Marlette and put together their best game of the season on the road in a tough place where they go down to have a lot of trouble in Marlette. They went down there and won that game, and I think they built off the momentum of this Reese game. Huge game for them.
Hallmark of Harbor Beach Pirates is that they have tough kids in this program, and they are well coached by a veteran that's been around for, well, longer than I can remember. So, you know, hats off to the Pirates. This is just a typical Pirate victory is what it is. You know, they're not going to go ahead and allow things to slip at home like they did once already.
For Harbor Beach this coming week, they have Brown City and Ubley. Brown City's at 5-3, Ubley at 2-6. That's Wednesday and Friday. Both Brown City's home, Ubley is on the road on Friday. Reese has at Bad Axe, who's 5-3 coming off of that overtime loss to Novell. And then they have USA at USA this Friday, the 23rd, USA at 5-0 on the season. Our WLW Sports Game of the Week was USA at Lakers this past Friday. And even before we could catch our breath, USA was shooting hot. After the first quarter, it was USA 20, Lakers 2. It was 20-2 after the first quarter after a 20-0 start, and 6 different scorers scored for USA in that opening quarter. Lakers' only points came from the free throw line from Trent Cunningham with 2 points. Second quarter, Aaron Sines for USA finishes the half with 9 total points, but Michael Kemp with 8 points, impressive post work from him. He's a sophomore. 4 Lakers, 2 total field goals in that first half. 1 was a 2, 1 was a 3. It was 29-7 at halftime. The third quarter, well, it's starting to kind of get a little bit more even. Lakers outscores USA 11-10. Wisner, the freshman, with 5. Dubes with 4. USA, Aaron Sines had 4. Michael Kemp with an additional 4. It was a 21-point game, but if you were there, it felt differently. USA 39, Lakers 18 after the third. On to the fourth quarter, evenly matched. USA scores 15, Lakers with 14. Final score, 54-32. USA gets their first league victory on the season. USA shot 44%. Lakers also shot 44%, that's incorrect. I take that back. John Mooney will have to correct me on that one. But when it came down to it, USA just came out to a fiery start.
Well, I'm going to tell you flat out, as soon as USA got that 16th point to go ahead and give you the prognosticators award, Clark.
Good word.
You know, it was just basically business as usual for them. Getting out to a 20-point lead, then it was just steady state from then on. They didn't show press. They didn't show anything that was going to go ahead and come back and haunt them. They still might be in a non-quantity for other people. And that's, I'm sure, the way they'd like to go ahead and sneak up on some people quite yet, because believe me, it's going to be a wild west, And, you know, USA is going to be in the thick of it. And tell you the truth, watching USA is almost like watching a track meet. They're just going to go out there and blitz you. And the more you don't know about them, the more you're surprised, and the more you shouldn't be surprised. This is a good team. I don't care how old these kids are. This is a darn good team.
Here's what Coach Martin Kainforth had to say to us after the victory over Lakers on Friday.
Yeah, I think if you look at the game, and we kind of created some tempo early on, and I guess that's good. I mean, Lakers a little bit shorthanded right now, so we try to take advantage of that. But really, from the second quarter to the fourth quarter, it was an even game, and I think that's what we tried to tell our kids. You know, we got to get better in our half-court offense, and defensively, I thought they were a little more physical than we are. So it's just always good, especially for a young team, to take bits of the game and try to improve. I thought our freshmen didn't play very well today. I thought, on the road, it's especially hard for underclassmen. Collectively, I think when you have a young team and you're playing a lot of guys, it's very difficult to get in the flow of the game. And I think that's kind of what happened from the second quarter on. We try to get everybody in, try to get them some experience on the road, and sometimes you lose the flow of the game. So, yeah, we're young. That's not an excuse. It's just kind of the growing pains you go through as a, you know, high school team when you're young. You know, you want some balance on your team because teams are going to take away your best players. So getting other people involved is exactly what you want to do. You know, again, as a coach, you're never always happy about a lot of things. But coming to Lakers, it's been a tough place to play. I'm sure when people come to our place, they say the same thing. But we've had some heartbreaking losses here over the years. And in the locker room, sometimes we remember the losses much more than the wins. But we've remembered some tough losses here in the past.
For USA, Aaron Sines completed 14 points out of 5 field goals and 1-3, and going 1-for-2 from the free throw line. Michael Kemp with 12 points off of 6 field goals. That's all he needs to do. Allman, a junior, coming off the bench, has 6 points off of 2 field goals and 2-for-2 from the free throw line. Williamson, a kid with good footwork and good post moves, 6 points, 2 field goals, 2-for-2 from the free throw line. Kramer, another one coming through the system. He had 4 points. No threes, though, which is unlike a Kramer, that's for certain. Then Macklin Gettle, 4 points off 2 field goals, but 0-for-2 from the free throw line. For Lakers, Brennan Wisner, 13 points, 4 field goals, and 1-3 and 2-for-2 from the free throw line. A bright future for that kid in Lakers. Trent Cunningham, 6 points, 2 field goals, 2-for-2 from the free throw line. Jim Stork, 4 points. Terrence Tubbs, 4 points. Krzyzewski, 3 points, and Collison Russell with 2 points for Lakers. Really, Lakers, you couldn't be angry at them. The USA just came out to such a hot start, and only Lee Wilson had 3 turnovers in that whole first half. Lakers with 10.
Lakers got blitzed. Just as, face it. However, after the blitzing was over, they started settling in. The Lakers did, and started taking the shots that they wanted to.
And the flag was still there.
But believe me, there's some good upside on this. Is you're finding some kids that are players. The Unsung Hero Award this week goes to, I think, Jim Stork.
Okay.
I liked his work in there. He's a diamond in the rough, and I think you're going to hear his name a few more times than tonight. I was very impressed.
One thing that stuck out to me when you guys were talking to Coach Gainforth, and I was listening to it live Friday night, and I laughed when he talked about the tough losses and going into the locker room. I can specifically remember times interviewing Mark Gainforth in the shower at Lakers after a loss, and it just
standing in the shower.
Standing in the shower, yes. And that's just I do think that Coach Gainforth does take the losses harder than the wins, and it just made me chuckle. But the fast start is really what sticks out, and there's something to build on. But after they slow down, it's kind of a coach's dream. You got to see the good from USA and a little bit of the bad. They kind of didn't build on that fast start, and they didn't get the memo that I picked a big spread, which I'm a little upset with them about. But I'll give the Patriots a pass on that. They didn't know that I picked them by 48 points. But anyways, if you're Coach Gainforth and you're Coach Bone, you got the good and the bad to work on from this game. It's a coach's dream. This is what we did good. This is what we did bad. We're a young team. Let's learn from it. Keep building on it. And I that's what I saw. As far as from the Lakers, After the first quarter, they settled in. This is a young team, inexperienced team. This
short-handed team.
Short-handed team. But they got punched in the mouth. They didn't get knocked out, and they came back with plenty of fight. So, Coach Majewski, you throw out the first quarter, and you say, look, we basically played USA even for three quarters. They blitzed us in that first quarter. Let's put that out of our minds and concentrate on the good things we did in those final three quarters.
In the second half, just to mention a couple, Trent Cunningham settled in, and that was good to see. But who really, I thought, came out and played well was Brendan Wisner.
Yes.
Played a very smart game, and you know, we're talking about a freshman that's playing like a senior in the second half of that game.
It is tough to be a freshman point guard in the Thumb or at any place. Another thing that sticks out with me with USA, and obviously it's first time seeing them, they have depth. There's a lot of youth, but there's depth. They were bringing in full hockey line changes there in the first half and the second half, basically swapping out five for five. And when you can do that, that gives you a lot of flexibility.
Coach Gainforth told me before the game started, and I was quizzing him on a couple things. He says, you know, after I kind of chided him a little bit about the fact that your first practice, you were probably trying to figure out if you're going to bring a crib in or not. And he says, you know, but I have some kids that – this is their sport, and they play it, you know, all the way around. They go to the camps. They work on their game, and that is really, you know, the mantra that some of these kids have kind of taken. If it's to be, it's up to me, and they go out there and work on their game, not just shoot. You know, they go against competition, against somebody else, or against the clock, or against a standard. You know, like if they were going to shoot like 10,000 shots a summer, I'm sure they're going to chart it. And for all the young players that are out there, that's how you improve your game. You just don't go out there and just shoot and then say, okay, I put the time in. No, you've got to have a standard to go against, and then that's when you're going to see the improvement.
And with that, it's 7:32 on Sports Radio 102.1. It's time for a quick check of the weather. We're currently sitting at 34 degrees on our east side campus at the Clark Ramsey Manor in Harbor Beach, Michigan. It's been a melting day of snow out there, but unfortunately all that sitting water is potentially could be turning to freezing ice tonight, as we're going to be checking in with Paul Janis for our weather update, which is being brought to you by Graf Chevy Buick. You're here today, here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky. For great vehicles, great incentives, and great service, visit the great Graf Chevy Buick dealer at M46. In Sandusky, Paul Janis.
As we have an upper-level low-pressure system moving in from the west, we'll continue to see cloudy skies with some bursts of cold air, creating some lake-effect snow shower and flurry activity over the next couple of days. Other than that, we'll see seasonably cold temperatures and maybe a chance of some more snow showers with some light accumulations looking ahead towards Tuesday. For tonight, we're looking at a cloudy sky with a few scattered snow showers, 40% chance of snow shower activity, low temperatures at 18 to 23 degrees with a northwesterly breeze at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tomorrow, Martin Luther King Day, it'll be mostly cloudy, daytime highs running near 20 degrees, winds from the north-northwest at around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For our Monday night, it'll be cloudy with some snow showers developing, overnight lows at 15 to 20 degrees. And on Tuesday, it'll be cloudy. Some of those snow showers could produce some light accumulations up to an inch for some, daytime highs running in the mid-20s. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Paul Janis.
Thank you, Paul. 7:34 on Sports Radio 102.1, a presentation of WLEW Sports, The Baseline. Being brought to you by Graf Chevy, this weather update. When we return, it'll be brought to you by Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine on Sports Radio 102.1.
From the premier truck dealer in the Thumb, Graf Chevrolet Buick and Sandusky, here's Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
Hey, Brandon, you certainly hit the nail on the head. Last month you were talking about winter weather, and guess what? We got it. Snow, ice, strong winds, and cold, cold temperatures.
And you know what, boss? Everyone that purchased a Chevy Silverado last month from Graf had no problem pushing through all the snow and staying warm, and saved a whole lot of money in the process.
And for those who didn't get a Chevy truck last month, GM is out to make it a January to remember by increasing the incentives even more. Right now, you can save over $11,000 on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Pickup.
We also have two 2014 Buick Enclaves on the lot that we're clearing out with over $10,000 in savings.
This just in, save an additional $500 in auto show bonus cash on select vehicles.
It's all here at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky, where trucks are what we do.
I'd like you to meet Joe.
Hello.
What's your last name? Schmall. Where did he come from?
off the street. So you're Joe Schmo off the street, of course. You seem to be getting around a lot better these days, though. Oh, I know. You went to active physical therapy and sports medicine, didn't you? Well, it makes sense. Active physical therapy and sports medicine can get any type of person back on their feet, whether it's an athlete or Joe Schmo off the street. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. They're located in downtown Bad Axe with convenient hours just off the street. That's 269-2700. WLEW Sports is proud to present The Baseline, all things high school basketball, every Sunday at 7 p.m. throughout the entire season on only Sports Radio 102.1 and WLEWSports.com. With Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams, we're discussing this past week in high school basketball in the Thumb of Michigan. And now a heartbreaker on Friday. Bad Axe traveled over to Saginaw Nouvelle to take on the Catholics of Saginaw County, and they fell a little bit short in overtime. Saginaw Nouvelle was leading after the first quarter, 13-9, but Bad Axe fired back in that second quarter, all square at 24 after the second quarter, after Bad Axe scored four more than Nouvelle, 15-11. We jump now to the fourth quarter, in which Bad Axe entered that quarter leading 33-30, but Bad Axe was outscored by three in that quarter. It's all tied up at 47-47 going into overtime. And in overtime, Saginaw Nouvelle outscored Bad Axe 14-4. But get this, 10 of those 14 points came from the free throw line. They were 10 for 12 from the free throw line to make the difference over Bad Axe. And Bad Axe falls to Saginaw Nouvelle in overtime, 61-51.
Very disappointing loss for the Hatchets, but not devastating. This is one that you can use as a learning experience for if you're Bad Axe and Coach Mark Krug. There was no harm, no foul. It wasn't a league game. They were riding a four-game winning streak, and they got slapped in the mouth a little bit. Now, Bad Axe is going to have to show us how they respond to a disappointing loss, though, a game that they probably should have won. Just would have liked to see them squeak this one out and bring more momentum into next week. Next week's going to be another tough week for them with Reese and Lakers on the schedule, and especially if we have a Reese team that's coming off a win against Vassar, riding momentum. Probably not how Bad Axe wants to go into that game, but now we're going to see how this young Hatchet squad that had momentum, if they can recapture that and respond.
Yeah, if you win this game, you put it in your toolbox. If you don't, okay, you look at it as an opportunity, and you learn from it, you grow from it, and you move on.
For those keeping score at home and those not surprised, Bad Axe was led by Tommy Morneau with 19 points off of 8 field goals and 3 for 5 from the free throw line, and then followed up by that was Martin Messing with only 8 points. John, you always talk about it. I kind of talked about this before the show, how it seems like in high school basketball, you need to have 3 players in double digits in order to secure that victory. And it was kind of a one-horse show for Bad Axe.
Yeah, that's one of the things you got to have is 3 people in double figures, but you also need to get to the foul line. And when you get to the foul line, you got to do something more than just 50%. And that's what a lot of the area schools are doing now. And I'm a total loss as to why, but they're hovering around the 50% from the foul line area, and I can't put my finger on it. Is it because they're young, varsity competition for the first time? I don't know. Some of these kids, they've seen varsity competition before, so I'm at a loss.
Scoring wise, this was a little bit of a step back for the Hatchets. If you look during that 4-game winning streak, they were putting 2, 3, 4 players in double figures, and Tommy Morneau was not looked upon to carry the entire offensive load. And if Bad Axe is going to be successful this season, that's what has to happen. You can't have Tommy Morneau with 19 and your next player with 8. That scoring distribution needs to be a little bit more evenly spread out. Tommy Morneau, he's a great player, but we don't want to see him leading the Hatchets in points every single game. When he's not leading the Hatchets and they're winning, that is really, that's where we want to see Bad Axe.
Ben Sutton did have 6 points. Andrew Sutton had 4, so you're talking about the inside game right there. Mason Krug had 2. Martin Messing, you mentioned, had 8. And Derek Geiger, who seems to be the designated hitter from the outside, he had 5. John Messing, 5, and Don McLeod, 2. A lot of nickel and dime kind of scoring, but they do need to pick up a couple scorers that are going to be consistently in the double figures.
One thing that I've noticed, especially throughout whether they're winning or losing,
In all of Bad Axe's victories, they've held their opponent to less than 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
This game, they gave up 61, and they fall short. And their three losses, they've given up 56, 69, and now 61. In their victories, 39, 39, 37, 37, 36. It's like a two-horse team. I don't know. It's not the correct word for it.
Again, this was an overtime game, so we're going to add some more points to it. But really, you know, the defense is there for Bad Axe. And they pride themselves on their defense, and coming away with a loss where they you know could have stolen a victory on an away court. I'm sure they're reeling a little bit on that on the bus ride home. But to tell you the truth, that's ancient history now. They're going to put it in the back of their heads, learn from it, and move on.
Yeah, it's still a lot of positives to come away from this game. I mean, going into Nouvelle, when we saw this game on the schedule at the beginning of the season, we're probably all of us thinking blowout. For Bad Axe to go in there, lose in overtime, have a legitimate chance to win, that's still a positive thing, and hopefully the players learn from that and move on, because they're only going to have a short time before Reese comes into town, and that's going to be a tough, tough game.
And they do host Reese on Wednesday on the 21st, who's at 5-3 after falling, or actually taking out Vassar in an upset in the West, if you want to call it that, even though both teams are technically at the square, even at the top before that game. And then they're at Lakers on Friday, who's sitting at 3-4. And then Saginaw-Novell, they actually had a game on Saturday. They turned around and drove all the way down to Ypsilanti Arbor Prep, and they just got waxed 29-70 against Ypsilanti Prep. And, you know, they now are at 2-8 on the season. So this is only the second victory for Novell on the season. Granted, they're playing a lot of bigger teams. They're an independent team. But this one has to just kind of stick with the Bad Axe, and hopefully they use it for the better.
Yeah, hopefully this doesn't turn them the other way. This is the one that got away, no doubt about it. But as you're learning with a young squad who's learning to really win at the varsity level for the first time, this isn't the worst thing that can happen as long as you can learn from it and build on it.
What I see that's encouraging is that looking at the quarter scores, Novell jumped out 13-9, but Bad Axe responded 15-11 the second. Okay, Novell after halftime, looks like Bad Axe nailed him again. And then Novell just came back. So Bad Axe is going to understand that, you know, in order to be very successful, especially in district competition, you have to answer the bell. And I think they're doing a good job with that.
This segment of The Baseline is being presented by Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. Whether you're Tommy Morneau or Joe Schmo off the street, make it Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. I'd like you to meet Joe.
Hello.
What's your last name?
Schmo.
Where did you come from?
Off the street.
So you're Joe Schmo off the street, of course. You seem to be getting around a lot better these days, though. Oh, I know. You went to Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, didn't you? Well, it makes sense. Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine can get any type of person back on their feet, whether it's an athlete or Joe Schmo off the street. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. They're located in downtown Bad Axe with convenient hours just off the street. That's 269-2700. Sports Radio 102.1, it is 7:43 and three quarters on WLEW Sports, presentation of The Baseline. Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams with you, discussing high school basketball in the Thumb of Michigan. One game that took on, we talked about the Greater Than West plenty here. Now let's take a look at the East, and it was kind of the two main dogs going on head-to-head on Friday. Hart Reach travels down to Marlette, a place that Hart Reach historically does not play very well at. And it was Marlette coming out 18-14 leading after the first quarter. At halftime, though, Hart Reach outscored Marlette in the second quarter 21-8 to gain a 9-point lead going into halftime. Third quarter, same story. Hart Reach scores 21 points again, 7 more than Marlette. 16-point lead entering into the fourth, 56-40. Fourth quarter, last chance for Marlette to make anything. They cut the deficit down by only 3 points to make it a 13-point differential. Final score, Harbor Reach 68, Marlette 55, led by the Pirates' Josh Shelkey with 24 points.
That's the Harbor Reach team that I was expecting all year, but not at this point. Like you said there, Clark, Harbor Reach, normally, that is one of the toughest places they go to play is Marlette. When we the last 5-6 years, it's been Harbor Beach and Marlette and the Greater Thumb East, and usually it comes down to a split because the other wins on their home floor, they basically split the series because they can't win on the road. So for Harbor Beach to go down here and pick up a 13-point victory against Marlette, that shows me that this team may have just turned a corner. Josh Schelke, a great game, but Dalton Oakey could have been his coming out party. 8 points, 10 boards, 9 blocks, almost a triple-double, and that's the kind of force that Dalton Oakey can be and needs to be for Harbor Beach. He doesn't need to score 15, 20 points a game. Just give him 8 to 10, 12 points, grab those boards, block those shots, be that inside presence, and they're going to be very, very dangerous.
The last victory for Harbor Beach in Marlette has to go back to January 27th, 2012, in which they defeated the Red Raiders 63-46, but Marlette returned the favor and actually beat Harbor Beach on their home court the following game. So, you know, this is a very storied rivalry. It's Pirates against the Raiders, you know, whatever else. It's been a long time since I've watched the Harbor Beach victory, having gone to Harbor Beach and played for Harbor Beach. Last time I can remember winning in Marlette personally, I have to go back to 2004. Dave Canal sitting at the half court, chucks up a half court shot, trailing by 2, hits the half court shot, and we ran out of that gym so fast we were afraid to get mugged. Harbor Beach won by 1 back in 2004. But this is a big victory for Harbor Beach. They beat Reese. They came back in the fourth quarter and beat Reese to get off that losing skid. Now they back it up with a big win at Marlette, and now this week they're home against Brown City, then on the road at Ubley. Talk about getting some momentum underneath them.
Right, and that's exactly what Harbor Beach needed to do. I said this last week on the baseline. When it clicks, it's going to click, and you're going to see it almost immediately, and I think Harbor Beach is going to be able to build on it. Now we've got to see how they respond against Brown City and Ubley, and then we're going to be really talking about momentum. But I think you're going to look back at that fourth quarter against Reese when they were down and they closed that game on 21-4 run and then carry that momentum into Marlette, and that's momentum that could carry through the whole season. This team is very talented, and it could have clicked. We're going to see more against Brown City and Ubley this week.
I'm sure the Pirates have the Red Raiders a little bit confused now. Think of it, going into Marlette and coming away with a 13-point victory. How in the heck did they do it? Now, I didn't even see the game, but looking at the box score, I can tell you exactly how it is. John Wooden used to talk about balance. That's how you win. And you look at a balanced scoring, like look on the inside for Dalton Oakey with the 8 and also Jason Gaffke, but I think Jason was hitting some outside shots as well. But you also have Josh Schelke, who is a slasher type of kid, and he gets 24. But I also, this is the one stat that stands out to me, is Austin Seltz with 2 trays, 4 field goals, 1-for-3 at the foul line, 15 points. There's your secret right there. I know that outside is so important, and once the outside clicks, the inside clicks, because you really can't cover both. Marlette has to give up something, and Harbor Beach was taking advantage of it. I'm sure of it.
And one thing that I do believe I took away from this, Dalton Oakey had 8 points, but he had 10 rebounds and 9 blocked shots, so nearly a triple-double that he had for more. And that's exactly what Harbor Beach needs to have from here on out. That's what people expected out of the kid when he came up here this in his senior year. And I think we're starting to see that. What we noticed, he was playing better on the road because there's less pressure on him to show what he truly is. But, I mean, he stands at 6'7". He can do this. And I think the difference is he's actually not dribbling anymore. He's keeping the ball up high.
You know, when it's clicking, it's really fun to watch. But imagine these kids. Imagine how fun they're having to see this go for him like this. I'm happy for him.
And Harbor Beach has a great, maybe the best inside-outside ability of any team in the Thumb. When you have Gaffke and Oakey, those are legitimate post presence. Mm-hmm. You have Schelke, who's your slasher, and you have Seaman as your swingman, and Seltzy, there's your key, hitting those outside shots. When he can do that, it all clicks together,
for the first time of the season, he's healthy.
We didn't even mention Cody Seaman. You know, he's coming back.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
And, you know, this young man, he's really special to watch because he can go inside, he can go outside, and he's just a real pleasure. But also take a look at Schelke, for example, you know. Could you imagine guarding him as a point guard and watching him post up? What do you do? There are so many possibilities that Harbor Beach has.
The game I'm looking forward to, and not to discount Brown City or Ubley, mm-hmm. but I'm just about to discount them.
The 28th?
January 28th, the makeup game, USA at Harbor Beach. All of a sudden now we have hopefully what looks to be a healthy Harbor Beach, and a USA team that's probably going to be even better than the one we saw against Lakers should be, I think, a really, really good matchup.
I think that might be a good game to mosey on over to the...
I suppose. I suppose I'll go to that one. I mean, right up the street here in Harbor Beach. Last year, USA High Reach played the first game of the year. I think High Reach had about 3 practice in her belt. Last game of the season, district finals. Couldn't ask for much better there. Mm-hmm. And here they are meeting on the court again.
When they can meet with a good 8 to 10 games under their belt, that's when you get to see the best out of those two teams. Two great coaches that know each other inside and out. I know we're skipping ahead 2 weeks, but hey, that's what we do in the media. We look ahead.
We're supposed to hype it up.
Exactly. That's definitely one that you're not going to want to miss. Great rivalry, and it looks like it could be a rivalry renewed.
Is it the All-American matchup?
The All-American.
That's the question.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It's the East versus the West. Can't get much better either.
It's one of them, and it's something that you put on your calendar, put it in red ink, circle it. It's going to be there, and we will too.
One game that's in red ink on my page here, at least, is Ubley getting on the board with a victory over Memphis. Ubley 49, Memphis 37. Memphis falls to 1-7 on the season, but Ubley to 2-6 on a one-game win streak here now. A big game, at least for it seems like Ubley's had just had bad break after bad break and after bad break. They have some talent on this, and they actually led at 11.5 at halftime. They held Memphis to only 6 points in that second quarter. And the final score, 49-37. Ubley scores 10 points in the third, 10 points in the fourth to get it done. Kurt Kibosky with 18 points off of 4 threes and 2 field goals and 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Jeffrey Wright with 7 points off 2 field goals and 3 for 4 from the free throw line. Jerpeski, 7 points, 2 field goals, but 3 for 8 from the free throw line. Like to see a little bit of better number there at home, at least. Jonathan Bischer with 7 points off of 3 field goals and 1 for 3 from the free throw line. Rogenbach, 6 points, 2 field goals, and 2 for 2 from the charity stripe. And Klama, our favorite sophomore out there, 4 points for Ubley. Memphis was led by Deckard with 15 points, Newland with 12, and Gerstenberger with 5, Wischlager with 3, and Old McDonald with 2 points for Memphis. Ubley's now at 1-1 in the East, Memphis at 0-2. Ubley now only in their averages here, 43.8 on offense, 52 on defense, so you can tell they're close in some of these games.
They're getting there, and a good
win. You got to remember, the stats are skewed because one of these games was against Vassar, 19-60.
Yeah. Good win for Ubley. You know what your prize is? You get Sandusky and Harbor Beach next week, so good luck. It's a good win, but this East, we've been talking a lot about the West tonight. This East is a tough division as well. Sandusky is kind of the unknown. We think Marlette and Harbor Beach might be the favorites, but Sandusky, I'm interested to see what Ubley can do going down there and see what the Redskins have in store.
Excuse me, against Vassar, it was 29-54. I was thinking the Lakers-Vassar game.
If there's a team that I'm saying can pull an upset somewhere, it's going to be Ubley.
Absolutely.
I think the world of the coaching of Kenny Pickla, he's been doing an excellent job switching up the defenses this year, keeping opposing offenses off balance and everything. He's going to go ahead and trip somebody up.
Well, look what he did in that first half against Vassar. 17-16. Held Vassar to 17 points. Yeah. Unfortunately, could not duplicate that effort in the second half. But for a half, held down one of the Greater Thumb West title contenders, held them really in check and frustrated the heck out of them.
It almost seems like their dynamic duo, when talking about Kurt Kibosky and Jeffrey Wright, is that each one trades off games. This one's going to be really good in this game, and then the next one.
Many hands
when
make light
both
work.
Of them click at the same time, and then you add Klama, for example, on the inside that all of a sudden breaks out, or even for that matter, Jonathan Bischer. Or Cole Rogenbach.
Trpesky, he's been
exactly
turning in good games.
Trpesky did a nice job over at Cass City. So the whole thing is that, believe me, this team is going to turn it on when somebody least expects it, and whammo, watch out.
I don't expect Ubley to be a Greater Thumb East title contender, but they could play a factor in who does. They have the ability to upset any of those top three title contenders, whether it be Sandusky, Marlette, or Harbor Beach. So Harbor Beach better look out. Coming into that Friday game, they might be kind of have one eye on that potential showdown with USA, but you better concentrate on the Bearcats, or they have the ability to surprise Harbor Beach.
And Ubley on Wednesday is at Sandusky. On Friday, they are home against Harbor Beach, I do believe. So it should be an interesting game week. It should explain a lot for what the outcome in the future for Ubley is going to be.
What I think for the future, somebody's going to get upset. I'm looking at districts, tell you the truth. I'm just looking down the road. And Oakley's the team I would February. Not want to play.
Don't just forget the 28th.
We don't want to forget about February Fury.
Not even going there. All right, let's take a look at our week schedule coming up here on WLEW Sports, the game of the week. We're switching gears down to the NCTL, the Carsonville Port St. Like Tigers taking on the Caseville Eagles. Yeah, that's going on Sports Radio 102.1 roughly at 7 p.m. Tomorrow, you're always tomorrow on Monday. It's roughly at 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 102.1 for an NCTL matchup on WLEW Sports. Mayville is at North Huron. Peck is at Deckerville. That's your Monday action. Tuesday, Memphis travels to Macomb, Lord Luther North for an interesting game there. Wednesday, heavy action in the Greater Thumb Conference. Brown City is at Harbor Beach. Ubley is at Sandusky. Reese at Bad Axe. That should be a very good game. Lakers at Cass City. That could go either way. USA at Vassar. That's going to be a great game. North Huron at Bay City All Saints. And Olengage is at Caseville. Wednesday is going to tell a lot of answers.
Believe it or not, I'm skipping all the Greater Thumb Conference action on Wednesday. I'm going to Caseville and Olengage game. We have not seen the Bulldogs this year and have to get that opportunity and take it when it comes against Caseville.
Caseville's going to be a fun team to watch, I think. You know, they've got some people that can light it up and everything.
I know nothing about them at this point.
Oh, they've got some shooters. You know, you hear a lot about Skylar Fillion Colin Denoff, Carter Redmonts, Justin Falkenberg, just to name a few. I really liked how Mason Kozefka played when I saw him once. So that was against Peck, if you can imagine. They have another young man. His name is Zach Gerstenberger, but I don't know what his number is. And if someone wants to go ahead and let us know at the Clark Ramsey Mansion.
Manor.
Until we get new wallpaper, it's going to be a manor.
Caseville. Almost picked up a much-needed win against Mayville. Just fell a little bit short last week against Mayville, but hopefully that gets them at least close to what that feeling is of winning, and we'll see. CPS, definitely a winnable game. Olengage could be a winnable game for them as well, and maybe they can get the ship righted and get things going in the right direction over there.
I've learned that CPS does have some bodies. They have some people that can play. It's just a matter of how things work out. I'm looking forward to Monday night, the game and everything. It's just going to be fantastic.
And Friday action, Harbor Reach travels to Ubley. Brown City is at Memphis. Marlette at Sandusky, the red on red. Bad Axe is at Lakers. Bay City All Saints at Cass City. Reese is at USA. Peck at North Huron. And Deckerville is at Mayville. A full ticket for action in the Greater Thumb Conference and NCTL for this week upcoming.
You guys, Friday game?
No Friday game. We're just doing one game. This week, CPS at Caseville. I'll be at the Brown City Harbor Reach game on Wednesday. I'm not sure where you're going, John.
You know, I still have to decide. There's a whole slew of games that are out there, and I don't know if I can flip a coin on some of these or not.
I'm curious about that Reese at Bad Axe game, to be honest with you. That's
going to be interesting. That was one of the ones I was looking at. I was also looking at on Wednesday, Laker and Cass City.
Friday.
USA at Vassar.
Friday's chock full of rivalry games. Look at the rivalry games we have on Friday. We got Bad Axe and Lakers. We got Reese and USA. And we got Harbor Beach and Ubley. Three great rivalry games on a Friday night. If you're a fan of high school basketball, go out and see one of those games. That's what it's all about. Those are great rivalry games and should be highly competitive.
I'm looking at Marlette at Sandusky. That should be a decent game, too. So, who knows what's going to go on this week, a lot of unknowns, and it's still early in the season. We're not even halfway.
Knock on wood, hopefully the weather cooperates with us. So far, so good. We've only had that one questionable night of weather, really. So we're doing great. We're so much farther ahead than we were last year with the weather. So hopefully the weather cooperates, because we have another great slate of games to talk about, then we'll break them down here next week.
Well, that does it for the baseline of this week. Pushing the buttons back in the studio for WLW Sports, part of Thumb Tailgater Sports. The man of Thumb Tailgater is Eddie Fury. In-game analysis for WLW Sports, that's John Mooney. From the Huron Daily Tribune, I'd like to thank him again for volunteering his time here for WLW Sports. That's Paul P. Adams, and I'm Clark Ramsey, director and producer of this broadcast. Join us tomorrow for CPS at Caseville on WLEW Sports, your hardwood home for high school hoops. We'll see you tomorrow at 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 102.1. Don't give up the baseline.
We play the best and trash the rest. Your classic hit station. WLEWFM.